Blog Talk Radio.
We are the Bride Radio as the voice of the true bride of Christ.
WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits.
This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministry, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Welcome to Bride Time Live. This is your host today, Dr. June Knight. Listen, Bride, it is my honor to host ministers from all over the world. We are honored to hear their life stories because it is for God's glory. What is their journey like? Listen with us today as we give God glory for this person. Amen. Good evening, Bride. Good evening. This is your host tonight, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Washington, D.C. Yay! Listen, Bride, I am so honored to highlight your servants. I'm telling you what, all of you that have great destinies on your lives, it's just wonderful to hear after all these years. I've interviewed over 400 now. To hear all of the destinies that God has put on the inside of you, I'm telling you, I am just honored to be locking arms with you and to be praying with you and to highlight what God is doing in your life. It is such an honor. Look, you can find out all the interviews on WATBRadio.com and WATB.TV. Listen, on WATBRadio.com, do you know that is so high in the Google ratings because I am linked to so many different ministries that when you search someone's name, my site's the first one that pops up because people go back and listen to those sermons by the thousands, let me tell you. It doesn't matter who listens to it today because it goes in the archives and it's there for history, amen. Listen, this is the breath of God being released across the airways. We are taking the media mountain in Jesus' name. Now, tonight, Bride, I tell you what, we are at a little different time. I'm not feeling very well, so I would appreciate your prayers. Listen, I am honored tonight to be interviewing Christopher Gregory. He is a missionary to China, and I'm going to read his bio before we get started. Christopher Gregory is a teacher, evangelist, and missionary to the nation of China with his wife, Ruth. Together they have established and or planted 14 underground churches in communist China not only with their work in China, but they have also ventured into new territory with new work in both the nation of India and recently South Africa, not to mention Burma and Myanmar, where they have dug water wells for villagers in both nations. Mr. Gregory is also a writer and an author, with his latest book, American Christianity, released last year through his own publishing house, Gregory House Publishing. You sound just like me, sir. With an emphasis on the prophetic and what is happening in the world today, Mr. Gregory has an exceptional view of the current world events that are taking place, but with a biblical explanation. Listen, sir, I can just tell you we are going to have such a great time tonight talking. Listen, Brad, we do have up to 2 hours we can talk. I'm going to try to pull as much out of this man as I can. How are you doing, Mr. Christopher?
Well, I'm doing great. It's glad to, you know, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to participate in your program, and I'm excited about talking about what's going on in China and the rest of the world.
Well, I want to ask you this, sir. You're in the United States at the moment, right?
Yes. Yes. This is my summer break from me and my wife. So we're here for the next 6 to 7 weeks, and then we go back to China.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to talk to us tonight. Listen, we have a lot going on in the world. We have a lot going on in China, and we have a lot going on in this country. You know, I interviewed someone the other day at this International Religious Freedom Summit that they had, and this lady was from Iran or Pakistan, but she's from one of the Middle East countries, Muslim, and she was talking about how her father was in prison, her mother was in prison, her brother's in prison, and she just got out of prison. So I asked her if you could talk to American Christians about what our world is like and what your world is like in your country where you're so persecuted, what would you say? And I'm sure the story you're going to tell us today is a lot the same. But she said, well, I tell you what, when I was in prison, I used to cry, Lord, get me out, Lord, get me out, I'm tired of suffering. And the guard kept coming in and asking me for prayer. And the Lord spoke to me one day and said, daughter, quit asking to get out. I have placed you there. And she said, then I realized I am freer than anyone else in the world, even though I'm behind prison doors. But she told America, she said, you're not free. So that really hit me hard. So I want to know, before we get started in your life story, just because of your American Christianity book, just sounds like I have a preconceived notion of what that's about. Tell us the synopsis of that book and what's the point you're trying to get out there.
Well, when I wrote American Christianity a year ago, it took me about 3 years to actually put together and piece together what I felt was where the American church was straying. And, you know, in the process of writing, you know, this particular book, and actually it's more like a letter to the churches in America, that we've become a reflection of American society today.
Yeah.
Everything that I see in American Christianity, when I say American Christianity, I'm only speaking specifically of those churches here in America, and from evangelical to charismatic. You know, I have a background in Pentecostal, my Pentecostal background, and I see a transformation taking place within the past 30 years. And it seems to be, to me, it seems to me that we are becoming more influenced by American culture and less influencing the culture that we're around right now. And so when I wrote American Christianity, it was more of a foreboding warning to the church that they need to take a look inside of their direction, what they're becoming. We have a I really don't see any difference between American culture and American Christianity. I really don't see no distinction between the two because we're very similar.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And I think that the more that if we continue down this path that we're on as it relates to the church, I believe the line that has been drawn for so long in America and in the church in America, that line will be, you know, it's going to be gone. And I think that what we're seeing today is the rapid rise of divorce in the church, the rise of embracing of ideals that of same-sex marriage. Who would have thought that today, who would have thought that we would be our membership, our the demographics in Christianity, that they're beginning to embrace same-sex marriage, ideals that we have stood against for so long, we're embracing. And it seems to be that's the influence, and that's the influence that the church has allowed to come in. The prosperity, and I'm not against prosperity, but that message, the prosperity message that is permeated throughout the church today, it's very similar to the world. And as I say, you know, the world has Wall Street, and we have, you know, the electronic church, you know, and so what's the difference? And so I see a danger, and that's the reason why I wrote American Christianity, to reflect where the church began in the early 30s throughout up into the 60s, and how a change took place between 1970 and 1980 that has led us to this point. And a lot of it's because we've lost our values, we've lost our standards, and we've lost our doctrine, which is Christ and Christ alone. And yeah, it's very disturbing what's happening.
Well, it really is, sir. And let me tell you something. My boys, I raised two boys that were preachers and they were missionaries. And they went to Bible college for that, for missionaries and evangelism. And when they were teenagers, God supernaturally paid for them to go to Argentina. And they went to Argentina, and they come back, and I'm telling you, for a month, I mean a month, every service, I was one of them mamas that went, you know, three times a week every service, and every service they would be on their face, even during the preaching. I mean, like, they were so grieved. They were on the floor just weeping before God about the condition of the American church. So can you explain to the audience, maybe they don't understand the difference, can you tell them the difference?
Well, when we look at, you know, that the current statistics today, that you'd be surprised that you see a number of Americans who do not travel. You know, they don't travel overseas as they used to do. I think the percentage is about nearly 60% of Americans have not traveled outside the U.S. And I think the biggest issue. Now, I've been involved in missions for a long time. I'm 52 years old. And my first mission trip was when I was 18. And so my family, my mother being a missionary, that's my background in evangelism and missionary work. We always made it a point, an effort, to understand the world that we live in.
Right.
But the trend is today, when you have a large number of Americans today who don't travel overseas, nor do they have a passport, it makes it very difficult for Americans, in particular Christians, to have an ideal of a world view. When you don't travel outside the borders of your country and see the real world that we live in, it's very difficult to have a mindset or a worldview to how to work with that with those who are in third world countries or second world countries. It's very difficult, and what we're seeing today is a reduction of people going to on mission trips into third world nations. And I see that myself in India or in South Africa or even Africa itself, in Kenya and Nigeria, not to mention China. The numbers that we see today of giving, I think it's 1% of total global mission work out of the U.S. actually goes into foreign fields, less than 1%. That's very telling. I think it's all about our priorities. Where is our priority? So it makes a big difference when we don't travel outside the borders of where we live. It makes it very difficult for us to have a heart for those who are suffering. And that's the problem with Americans. And I don't say that to be denigrating or to denigrate, you know, the American people. You know, our nation has always been blessed because we are a giving nation. But it seems to be we're seeing less and less of an emphasis to help others worldwide. And I think that's partly due to education. I think that's also partly due to our inward focus. We're focusing more inward and less outward. And until that changes, really nothing will change.
Well, that's a very good perspective. Now tell them, how can they find your book?
Currently, it's available on Amazon. American Christianity is available on Amazon.com. That's where right now the best way to buy the book. Actually, it's been doing very well. We're actually I'm very happy, you know, with what the book is doing, and that's what I want. I want people to be able to read and get an ideal of where we're at today. And if they really love Christ and really desire His will, then I think it's very good that we sit down and have an understanding of where we've been and where we're going. And that's the purpose of the book. And I hope that people take the time and read it and get my perspective. I mean, there's a lot of books out there that have different points of view, and obviously I'm just adding to it. But, you know, I think from someone who's been outside and who is living in China and seeing the world right now seemingly becoming unhinged, I think it's very important that we understand what is going on in our world right now. And I hope that the book does that.
Well, I pray that book is very successful, because in 2017, when the Lord had me travel around the country, He told me to pray over 6 cities. One of them was Miami, Florida. He told me to go to the port of the ships that come in there and to prophesy that we will export more missionaries in the history of this country. God is very serious about our country with missionaries. So I really honor you today, sir, and I would love to hear about your life. Like, was you raised in a big family? Where are you from? Are you from the South, North, or what?
Well, my mother and father, they grew up in Indiana. My dad is from Kentucky, Tennessee region.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Indiana, in Muncie, Indiana, actually. And I am one of two children, my little brother, and my brother is involved in politics today. And so with my father and my mother being, you know, the evangelist and missionary, she had a big impact on me you know, growing up, I literally grew up in church. And when I say I grew up, I mean literally. From the moment that I can recall from being an infant, I grew up in our church. And so that has made an impact in what my views and, you know, my worldview as it relates to my faith. And then by the, you know, growing up in Indiana and then graduating high school, I then began to really travel and see the world that that we see and know today. As I said before, my first missionary journey was when I was 18, which was very impacting. And so I was in the island of Jamaica. And so that's really where I felt like God was really doing something with me there. But in the meantime, I was doing tent revivals throughout the South. And for a long time, I was preaching in a tent from Arkansas to Louisiana and in the Midwest and in the South. So I kind of cut my teeth on the tents. So, and you don't see that too much of young people at that time, you know, doing tent revivals.
Yes, I love them. So you basically was raised up in a good family Christian home,
yes.
Basically evangelical evangelistic home. Okay, so how did you know the call to go overseas?
Well, it came one particular, it was near Christmas, and this was in 2011, 2012, and I had been praying for direction. I've been doing tent revivals for a long time, and so I was praying for India and just maybe going into India, but it seemingly, God just seemed to shut the door on that. And for 2.5 years, God was silent about what direction that he had for me.
Yeah.
And I prayed, and for 2.5 years, God was silent. And that was the time that I was really searching for God's perfect plan for me. And I knew he had something greater for me. I knew he had something much more for me. And so as I was praying and trusting in him and his will, one day, it happened in, it was in December 27th, 2011, and I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, go to China, and the Lord, he spoke it to me 3 times, go to China, for there I have a work for you to do. And I didn't know, I really wanted to confirm what God was saying to me, and I said, Lord, if this is really you, I need confirmation. Because I really believe that we need to be led by the Spirit and we need to test everything. And I said, Lord, speak to me, confirm this to me. Well, the Lord didn't say anything else to me. No angel appeared to me. No one came to me that evening and said, Chris, go to China. But the following evening, about 6:30, 7 o'clock, I received a phone call. And it was from someone I had not talked to for about 2 years. And he called me. He's in Missouri. He's a mission director. And he said, Chris, the strangest thing happened to me this evening. He said, I came into my office, and your card, your index card, your contact information was laying on the floor underneath my desk. And he said, when I reached down to pick it up, he said, the Holy Spirit dealt with me and said, call Chris and tell him to go to China. So he said, Have you ever thought about going to China? And I said, funny that you mentioned that. I said, yesterday evening, the Lord dealt with me and said, go to China. Within 3 months, I was in Beijing. In Beijing, I flew on down to Chengdu. The Lord worked everything out financially. I mean, he met the need, the financial need that was required. I needed because I stayed a month because I wanted to know this place, and so I knew that I needed about $5,000. It was just a little over $5,000, and within 3 weeks' time, I had God met every financial need requirement that I needed, and to the dollar amount. And so I was in China, didn't know anybody. No one came to pick me up. No one met me. I was literally on my own. And I just trusted the Lord, and I was in Chengdu. And and God just, within 3 days, God led me to a church, led me to a contact, and there the doors were literally opening. Now, I wasn't, at the first part, I wasn't speaking to too many because there was a lot of questions, and I was a foreigner, and there's, and because of security and security concerns.
Yeah.
But within 2 weeks, I had invitations to speak at several house churches. I met wonderful people, and God literally planted the seed. And that was 8 years ago. And so God has literally, from that point till today, He has done an amazing work in my life and my wife's life, with the work that we're doing in China. But it all started because I just walked by faith, literally. When I first came in, my wife, she smiles and laughs about it. But when I first, because I didn't know anybody, and I didn't meet my wife until 4 years later. When I first went into China, I took 2,000 Bibles and Christian materials and just a few pair of clothes, and that was it. And I still recall, I went to a Three Self church, and I had over 1,000 Bibles, and the pastor allowed me to stand in the back of the building, and I had about 1,500 Bibles and Christian materials, and on me at that time in a big duffel bag, and within 10 minutes they were gone. That's how fast they went. And
yeah,
but
people,
what? Go ahead.
People were that hungry.
Mm-hmm. They were very hungry. I remember what struck me. I was sitting in the pew next to a young Chinese woman, and I gave her a Bible and a track, little chick tracks, in Chinese. And I gave it to her. Of course, I didn't speak Chinese, and she didn't speak English. But she looked at it, she held it in her hand, and all of a sudden she started weeping. She started crying.
Aww.
And her tears literally covered the Bible, and she clung it to her chest, and she wept. Just the fact that someone gave her, a Bible, someone gave her a gift to know God's word. And some woman that I do not know came up to me, and she's speaking Chinese. And I had one individual who helped me. He spoke English. He was a professor. And she wanted to say something to me. And she was an older woman. And she pointed her finger at me, and she said, "You are the one that God has called to China. To touch the nation of China." And so, God has moved, amazingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we need that focus again. And I feel that that's what's been left aside, is we need the heart of the Great Commission again. I think that we've lost that. We've lost it somewhere, that we need to get back to our first love. And our first love, obviously, is Christ. But Christ told us that we are to go into all the nations. I hear a lot of people talk about they want the Lord to return, and they're praying for the Lord to come back and to take us home. But, it's interesting. Jesus actually gives us a prophetic word to us as it relates to that. He said, "This gospel shall be preached unto all nations as a witness, and then shall the end come." I always tell the church, I tell believers, if you want to see Jesus come in your lifetime, then get this gospel spread to every nation. I mean, no matter what it takes, and fulfill Christ's own words that if we spread this gospel into territories, even at the risk of persecution. And I think that's another topic that you know we can cover. But if we would just have the heart to go out, as Jesus told the early church, you know, God had to send persecution to the early church, and then they went to Judea and Samaria, all of Jerusalem, you know, and all of Judea itself, and that's when the gospel really, really thrived, is because God had to send persecution. And I think for the American church, that's what we need to do, because, you know, it's interesting. My wife is Chinese. Up until 3 years ago, she had never been to the U.S. But when she came here, and when she came here to the U.S. for the first time, she was very surprised at everything that she saw. But she told me something that has always stayed with me, and that she saw with the American church today and the American people itself. And she said, you are being lullabied by comfortable living. My wife called it comfortable living. And that was, it's become a contagion to the church. It's actually is hindering us, because we've become too comfortable in our American lifestyle, in our way of life. And again, I'm not going against having prosperity or what we have. God bless what we have. But you know, the word says, to whom much is given, much is required. And we've been given the liberty and the freedom to worship and preach the gospel and declare the truth. But I see a darkness that's rising, and if the church does not grasp hold of this and kind of recognize that, you know, it's one thing to be comfortable, but there's another thing, be too comfortable. Well, Jesus said when he told his disciples, could you not tarry for 1 hour? Because he found them asleep. And he said, could you not wait for me? Could you not pray? Could you be awake for 1 hour? And when he returned, he found them sleeping again. And I feel like sometimes we desire to sleep in our American prosperity while the rest of the world is burning and needs the gospel. And I think that if we don't change, it's going to hinder us in the future.
You know what's really sad is that America is the one burning. We need missionaries too. Actually, God is sending people from other countries over here as missionaries. I've met a lot of people from Africa.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And China is raising up missionaries, even with all the persecution right now. They're still trying to get out and go into Hong Kong, Taiwan, South Korea, and westward even into Africa. As you know, and as we all know, that it's very difficult for the Chinese to go into the U.S. But I see a change happening. But I I'm sure that we'll talk about that, what's going on in China, but even with the political shift that's happening in Beijing and what's happening to the underground church, even actually the state church today, God is still moving. He still has a people that is desiring to do his will, and they are continuing to rise up and to do that, even at the risk of going to prison, even at the risk of being beaten, which they are. Even at the risk of losing everything, which they are, they're holding on to their faith, and sometimes I wonder, can the American Christian do the same? Can we say the same? That's my dilemma. That's my question for the hour. Can we say the same?
That's true, and you know that suffering. I've been telling everybody this great revival that everybody wants to happen, it's going to come through great suffering. That's when God's glory shines the brightest, is in the gross darkness. Okay, let me ask you this, though. Let's spend a few minutes talking about China. Okay, in China, we just did that thing last week for the International Religious Freedom. And we had a press conference with some people from China. Talked about the things going on there, how they're killing Muslims and Christians. Can you talk about the persecution that's going on in China, or can you not address it?
Sure. I mean, well, I can because my wife and I face it, and we have faced it. Our friends have faced it. You know, without I can do this without being specific in what we do. I'll leave out the names. I'll omit the names in the cities that Ruth and Ruth, my wife Ruth, her name, that's not her real Chinese name, and I don't divulge that just for security reasons. But I just won't talk about where we're at. Yes, up until about two years ago, year and a half, two years now, there was not a rise of persecution that we're seeing right now. Things were very quiet. As I said before, I've been in China now 8 years, and there was optimism. There was real hope that there was going to be a reformation in China, and that China was going to adapt to the world standard and the rule of law, universal rule of law, where we respect the beliefs of human rights and freedom of worship. And people were really hoping that when Xi Jinping became, you know, chairman, when he became the leader of China, a lot of people believed that he was going to be a free thinker and that he was going to bring the change, but unfortunately that was not the case. And one of his directives was to begin the slow eradication of Christianity, of religion, throughout China. People need to understand that Xi Jinping is a follower of Mao. I have his book. Obviously, you know, living in China, I understand the ideal, the ideology that he maintains, and that has never changed. He's always been very reluctant to open up China to such an extent that it would bring political or social change to China. And when I say that, I have to say that even with China changing, it is still changing in the social context and even in the economic context of that thought. However, that he is determined to try to keep it as communist, whatever capitalist ideal that they have. It's very controlled. It's state capitalism more than anything. But when he came into power, there was a subtle push that began in the remote regions throughout China, and that was to begin to lock down Christianity. But he didn't do it at first. It took some time. But up until about a year and a half ago, that's when the new legislative doctrines coming out of Beijing began to be influenced and pushed and legislated, which made Christianity a threat to the Communist Party. You have to keep in mind that in China there are 30 million communist members are in China, in Beijing. Christianity has over 200 million followers. And so that by very nature, that puts communism at a very serious end towards what they would like to do. When you have more Christians than you do have, when you have communist members, that puts that party in the crosshairs, and it makes them very unnerving. So that's where we're at today in what we're seeing when it comes to Xi's new thoughts, and that is a China without Christianity, China without Buddhism, China without Islam, China without any type of spiritual ideal. He wants to eradicate religion completely, and it's a new reformation against the church, against Christianity, and Western ideals, Western values. I see it in the school that I teach. A year ago, this is an international school, and the communists came in, and they were doing away with Western thought, because I tend to believe they see it as a threat to their hold on the region. So, yes, up until about a year ago, and even till present day, the persecution right now in China is probably the highest I've seen since the days of Mao.
Wow. I want you to talk to us, too, about the social system there. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, basically what it is that China has and it's still being implemented. It's not fully ready yet, but right now we have a social system that is happening where the people are being governed or are being monitored through their social standing. Have they been loyal to the party? Have they caused any trouble? Are they involved in any type of religious activities?
Yeah.
So.
And if they get caught, like say they get caught going to church, they lose so many. It's a point-based system. They lose like 200 points, and then what happens to them when they run out of points?
Well, it's very difficult to say right now because it's still not fully yet implemented. I know that because they're testing it in a lot of the major cities, it's fully not being implemented right now, only in certain areas. Now, when my wife and I traveled out of China 4 weeks ago, they questioned her about when was she coming back to China. Does she have a return ticket? How long is she going to be out? They were asking her questions that they have not done before. So it is being implemented, but to what degree? It's kind of unknown yet. That's the thing about China. They never really tell you how far you're able to go until you've passed what they've permitted you to do. And so you're really you really don't really know until it's already done. Those people if they're involved in any type of religious activity, that is a mark against them. If they own debt, if they can't pay back or won't pay back debt that they owe, that can be a cause of problems. If they've been arrested, that is the social credit score as well. I have seen reports and heard of people not being able to take a bus, not travel outside their cities. They can't fly. They can't take a fast train. In China, fast train is vital to going from city to city. If you're trying to do business, that can be very detrimental. Getting loans, I mean, it can be very, very serious. So from what I understand and what what we've discovered is that by sometime next year, this new credit score system will be mainstream all over China. So I don't think anybody really knows fully until it's really up and running, because it's not yet fully up and running yet.
Well, I have a theory because I've written books about, I'm like you, a self-publisher. I've been studying the mark of the beast and studying technology.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, I work in the White House, so yesterday the president, or was it the day before yesterday, the president had the major companies in to discuss 5G. He's very serious about us being, you know, the top of the game. And
yeah.
So I've been warning the bride about Internet of Things, and that's where they're trying to interconnect everything. And
yes.
So I'm wondering, now this is just my theory, but I'm wondering if China is not a testing ground. And the reason I say that is because they are the biggest population, and,
sure.
you know, it could be a testing ground before they're going to do the rest to the planet or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, you know, that actually, it's a good argument. Because when you look at... You have to kind of keep in mind where China is as a strategic nation. I think sometimes the American viewpoint and the American opinion when it comes to China is 60-40, 60% false and 40% correct, and it may be even
yeah.
more than that. I think a lot of people put too much stock in the threat of China. Now, that's not to say that China won't be a threat to us, you know,
mm-hmm.
10 years from now. But for right now, you know, I don't see that. And I see that because...
Hello? Oh, he dropped. Well, we're going to take a quick little commercial just to give him time to call back in. Here we go.
Good evening, Bride. This is your host tonight, the president of We Are the Bride Ministries. I just want to take this time to thank you for listening to We Are the Bride Radio, WATB Radio, and for watching us on WATB.TV. Listen, Bride, this month is our 4-year anniversary officially on the radio. We would like to thank all of our listeners across the world. It is a shocking fact that half of our listeners are in the United States and the other half is abroad. Thank you so much. It has been our pleasure to interview over 300 ministers in 4 years. It is our philosophy that we encourage you to be successful because we need every person doing their part, every person to be successful in ministry. It's all about missions. You know, the mission that God has for you. So I speak blessings over all of you. Thank you for partnering with We Are the Bride Ministries. May God richly bless you, Bride. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at WATB Radio. Also, you can check us out at WATBRadio.com and WATB.TV and WeAreTheBride.us. God bless you, Bride.
Welcome back, Christopher.
Yes, I'm good. It's good to be back. I guess if I was back at home, I would say someone did not want me to talk about sensitive information.
Well, let's move on here. I would like for you
yeah.
to talk to America for a few minutes.
Sure.
In that you are stationed in China full time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I know you still love your country, and I know
sure.
you see all of the trauma that we're going through and all the war that the church is in over here. I would like for you to talk to us a few minutes. What would you say to her?
To America, to come back to her roots, to come back to her faith. to come back to what has made her great again, to what made her great in the beginning, and that was the love of country, the love of God, the love of the land and the people and its people. When a nation is united, it is lasting and it's strong. When a nation is divided, it's weak, and it gives room for the enemy. And you know, when a nation embraces God and His truth, that nation will prosper. And I think there's always hope for America. We have been blessed like no other nation. When Chinese students ask me, they call me Mr. G, and they say, Mr. G, what's so special about America? Why is she so powerful? And surprisingly, when I tell them it's not because of our military, they get shocked about that. When I tell them that it's not because of the economy, they're surprised by that, because in their nation, it's military might, and it's the ideal of the RMB. But I tell them that America's stronghold, America's greatest weapon, its greatest strength is its people and its love of God, and its faith, the ability to worship, the ability to allow every man the right to worship, the right to have a prosperous living. That's what made America great. That's what will keep America great. But when we lose sight of that, when we lose sight of what makes us great, then we will go the path of every other nation. And even Scripture tells us that a nation that will that forgets God is destined to fall into ruin. So America has it's at a crossroads right now. Her enemies are lining up. And it's not just China, but Russia and the Middle East. And if we don't take stock into what we have before us, then I fear the future. But I still believe that as long as God has a remnant and God has a people that are called by His name, that if we hold fast to that which is true and hold fast to that word, America will continue to be strong and be that light. But if we keep going the way of the heathen, if we keep going the way of idolatry, then I fear that we will self-fulfill our own destiny, and that would be a sad thing to see.
It would be. That's very good, sir. Listen, we would have, if you would please, let us have the honor to pray for you tonight. First, before we pray, how can they find out more about your ministry? Do you have a website, Facebook page, or what?
Yeah, our website is www.chinamissions.org. O-R-G. You'll see a little bit of what we do, our work in China. But because of the security issue, we keep things very bare minimum. We don't reveal a whole lot, and that's just common sense. But for more of what I do and to keep, you know, for current to updated news, my Facebook is Chris Gregory on Facebook, or Christopher Gregory, or China Missions, and you'll see the link to my regular my main Facebook page, and people can see us there and get a live update continually of what we're doing, not only in China, but in other parts of the world, as South Africa and India as well.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Well, I would love for us to pray for you. Lord, the bride, we come together in agreement across the world, Lord, and we lock arms. And, Lord, we want to thank you for this guy's family. Lord, Christopher's family, look at the rich heritage he was able to grow up in, and the example of his mother who followed the example of evangelism. And, Lord, all the stories that she would be able to tell as well would probably be just great. And so, Lord, we thank you for his family. We thank you that he has such good memories of his childhood. Lord, we thank you for giving him a good wife and then focusing on bringing your kingdom in, Lord, in these last days. Lord, we, the bride, pray safety upon him and his wife. Plead the blood of Jesus over them, Lord. We ask you, Lord, everything that they need to accomplish their vision, Lord, grant it unto them. Give them money, give them shelter, give them technology, give them people that know how to use technology, give them intercessors, Lord, all of the dreams that you have given them. Lord, grant it unto them, Lord. Give them everything that they need. We're in partnership with it, Lord. And we pray health on his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet and her too. Lord, we just pray that when they go back over there, Lord, that the anointing on their life will be increased, that all of the battles that they battle over there having to do with territory, with the territory that you've given them, Lord, we partner with them to tear down the strongholds in that city, tearing down those devils, and saying, give up, O winds, from the north, south, east, and west to the mission that this man is called to do, and he shall have clearance in the atmosphere so that he can operate very freely, Lord. Thank you and give you praise for it tonight. And, Lord, we pray for China. Lord, we pray for all of the persecuted church over there, Lord. Pray that your glory would just shine so much in them, Lord, and that they would see you in a greater measure than they ever have, Lord. Thank you for sending these brave people over there to help these people that are hurting so much. And I pray for my brother Christopher, Lord, that you give him discernment of spirits to be able to look at these people and see. Give him the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, to be able to understand how to break those things off of people, how to help those people to finish their missions while they have time. And, Lord, we just pray for China that those walls would come down, Lord, and that China would get saved. We call in China for Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Sir, we would love it if you would pray for this ministry. We are the Bride Ministries, and for the country, please.
Absolutely. Father, we thank you once again for your faithfulness, Lord, to guide us and direct us. Father, I ask that right now that you would touch this ministry, that it would prosper and expand the reach that it has, that it would expand even more. Lord, I ask that you would give them new territory, new vision. Lord, that you would give them the finances, the funds to even surpass where they're at today. Lord, so that they can expand and grow and reach more and more in this last hour. Father, I ask that you would touch Dr. June and that you would envision her, Lord, that she would reach and do more in your name than she has ever done, that this ministry would reach and touch millions, Lord, in your name. Father, and I ask right now that you would touch this nation once again. Lord, that you have a people here that is still called by your name. Lord, that you would touch the heart of America, that you would touch the heart of its people, that you would touch the heart of this nation in such a way that you would guide its leader, Lord. And I especially pray for President Trump right now, that you would guide him and direct him and lead him, Lord, in the path that you would have for him, that he would lead this nation once again, Lord, that it would be a representation, Lord, of your truth, of your word, of your light. Lord, let this nation be a city once again that would be a light to the nations, to the world, even against her enemies, that light is Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray right now that you would touch the American people, that you would give them a burden for the lost, that you would give them a burden, Lord, to prosper, to come together as one again. Father, we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. We honor you, Lord. We honor your faithfulness, and we honor your word. And Lord, we thank you for what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir, for taking time to be with us. And please tell your wife thank you for letting you do this interview and especially doing it early for me.
It's been an honor. I will definitely relay that to her. It's been an honor for me to participate and share about China and share about our direction and where God wants us to be. And I thank you, and thank you for giving me that platform. Yes?
How long do you think you'll be in China?
You know, I don't know. I know that there is something coming, and the Lord has shown my wife in dreams and visions, and he has spoken to me. The communism will not last much longer in China. And I believe that.
Wow, really?
That is coming down. That has to come down. The Lord said that his time will be short, and I believe that this something is going to happen in China. And there's too many things happening where God is speaking to certain people about the fate of China. And I believe that China, the Communist Party, is going to fall. And I believe that God's word is going to sweep the nation. And I believe you're going to see an awakening, a revival sweep throughout Asia. And I think it's going to transform China. Where that will lead to, I don't know. But I do believe that the days of Communist China is nearing its end. I asked the Lord this one day, not too long ago. I said, God, tell me, why are you letting this happen? You see what the party's doing to the Christians. You see what they're even doing to Muslims. You see what they're doing. Why aren't you doing something? And the Lord spoke this into my spirit. He said, son, my patience is nearing its end for the communist regime. And so I believe, and I stand on this, and my wife believes this as well, that God has spoken, that the power that we have that's in China today will not be there very much longer. It's going to crumble. It's going to crack.
You know, the Lord told me that the same about, you know, he brought me here to Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and he told me the same thing about the Democrats because of all, they're passing laws right now that are terrible. You know, in the House where they have the majority, they are passing all types of perverted stuff that's terrible for the country. And so the Lord told me the same thing. Well, thank you so much, sir. You have a blessed evening. God bless you.
Well, thank you, and God bless you. And till we see each other again, amen?
Yes, I'm so glad I met you, sir. God, I want to go to China one day. When it breaks loose, I am coming over there and going to film and document it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Just let me know. We'll meet you. Amen.
All right. Sounds good. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.